Oh, they've done it! Steven Gerrada, an instant hero! Can you believe this? Plenty attacking! No, no! The comeback is complete! A stunning second half from Schalke!
Blau, weiß sein Leben lang. Herzlich willkommen zurück auf Schalke America. I'm your host, Richard Carmen. Joining me as always, co-host Jack Mangan. I nearly called you captain there. Welcome to the show, Jack. How you doing?
I'll take the title of Captain Jack. That works for me. A little under the weather today, but in reasonable spirits considering the result.
Yeah. Favorable results in the grand scheme of things. Some other results went our way over the weekend. But we are on the verge, Jack. We are on the verge. Not there yet. Still need a point or two to lock this up, but we're getting closer. 1-1 draw against Dusseldorf, and tonight we're recap the match, and then we're going to talk about the Osnabrück match just briefly because that match may be in jeopardy, but we'll get into that once we get to the match. But 1-1 on the night against Dusseldorf. Interesting result there. We obviously didn't know how that was going to go. Obviously, Dusseldorf, a team fighting for promotion this season. They're comfortably in third place at the moment, and they're a team that they can score goals. Last time we played them, 5-3, Jack. So obviously a team that do we have to worry about. Looking at their lineup, Kastenmeier in goal. You had a back four of Zimmermann, Oberdorf, De Vrij, and Ioha, with the midfield five of Engelhardt, Johansson, Appelkamp, who's back. I don't think he played in the first time against us. Klaus, Zolis, and Vermaai. Interesting lineup. Appelkamp is the guy who's been in form for them lately. Klaus, Zolis, and Vermaai all were factors in the first time we played them. They scored a lot of goals against us the first go around. Thoughts on Dusseldorf in this match?
Yeah, well, obviously very, very strong campaign overall, sitting at third place in the table. And yeah, a match I was worried about because this is one of the second division's best attacking squads going up against, you know, a team with one of the worst defensive records in Schalke. So and we saw how it went last time. As you mentioned, it was a high scoring affair and then we got blitzed, which has happened far too often this season. We've had a really difficult time kind of keeping things tight at the back. So yeah, certainly worried about it. Appelkamp, as you mentioned, is a guy who's been on a tear of that trend continued. I thought he was probably their best player on the pitch, or certainly among them.
And
then on the Schalke side, a couple interesting things to talk about too. Soppy and Schallenberg, I think, most notably.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And Jack is under the weather tonight, so we'll try to keep this a short one for him. You know, hope he feels better. Looking at us being at home, obviously we played a lot better at home than we have on the road. In goal, Müller as normal. Back four of Ojan, Kaminski, Kalash, and Brendan Soppy. Midfield, diamond of Schallenberg in the sixth role with Seguin on the right, Kabadai on the left, and Karaman up top. And then the strikers, Tirota and Keke top in this one. Fairly standard lineup. Brandon Soppy back into the right back position. But yeah, nothing too crazy, I think, from Schalke in this regard.
What did you make of Schallenberg in this one with his sort of reinsertion into the starting lineup?
Again, I think it was another solid performance. I'm trying to remember, the game seems so long ago now, but no, I thought it was a solid performance. I think it wasn't maybe as good as the previous game, but certainly helped. I think, you know, with the midfield that Dusseldorf possessed, he did help. He helped the defense a lot and try to mitigate some of the issues that they could have posed to us. I mean, what'd you think about him?
Yeah, for sure. I also thought, in addition to that, I thought he had at least a few moments where he was a little bit better in link-up play and being able to kind of connect quick balls and stuff and, you know, put a depth touch in. So that was an improvement in my mind. I don't think he had like a particularly special game or anything, but but I was fine with it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like that thing we always say about Weltklasse, Max Meyer. If you don't hear about him, usually it's a good thing. Speaking of which, the rumors are that he's trying to come back to Schalke, but we're not going to get there tonight. Overall, I think the lineup, good performance, I think, considering the situation. We knew Dusseldorf as a team you had to worry about. How would we come out in this game? I thought first half really came out well for the most part. I thought we kind of neutralized them in terms of the big threats they could have posed to us. We had a lot of possession, which helped in that first half to kind of minimize the chances that they could create. It really wasn't until about the 24th minute where Mueller had to make a really big save against I forget who it was. It might have been Zolis from distance, but I think, you know, going into halftime 0-0, we could have had some chances to score goals. I think it just you know, the fact that we kept them 0-0 at that point, or kept them from scoring goals, I think that's going to be a bonus in my book. You know, looking at considering who this team is, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Really strong first half, one-way traffic for most of the first half. I think Dusseldorf started picking up the pace a little bit, had a few chances on goal as the half progressed. But yeah, certainly the first, I would say, even like 30 minutes was pretty solid. Yeah, they were just a little passive in a lot of different areas of the pitch. I thought I didn't think their buildup was particularly interesting. I thought Schalke had a kind of an interesting approach too, which was they seemed to be – I mean – It's so popular and common these days in build up, right? For you to maybe have your six drop back and split your center backs who go wide, and then meanwhile you have your fullbacks advance pretty high and wide up the field as sort of an initial like build up shape. And it seems like pretty consistently, at least in the first half, both Sapi and Uvian were being held pretty far back and tight to the wide center backs.
Yeah.
And that was sort of causing Dusseldorf to have to be a little bit more stretched out with their block than they probably typically would have wanted. And then you were seeing a lot of long balls over the top, you know, with Kiki Top with his back to goal, that kind of a thing, to kind of advance the ball in that way. And then you'd see the fullbacks kind of sprint in off the back of that ball to try to get like a positional advantage, and saw a lot of like Uvian to Tirada, you know, mm-hmm. crosses in the first half, a lot of offense generated that way. So I thought that was an interesting wrinkle, seemed to be effective in the first half. And shout out to Tirada too, who, you know, didn't score, and too often I think has a lot of shots that are not even on target, unfortunately. You know, it's wide, but his movement was pretty good in the first half. He was getting on the ends of things and causing problems for Dusseldorf. And obviously, you know, at this point in his career, that's not something we're saying about him particularly often. I thought overall he probably had the better game. Yeah. Compared to Kiki Top. So that's kind of what I noticed in the first half a lot, and I was impressed with our control generally.
Yeah, and I thought, you know, Ojan and Top were looking for Tirada a lot. He had some chances. They were missing wide. A couple headers that should have been on target that he missed just wide. But he was getting into those spaces, getting into opportunities, which was a good sign, I think. You know, we were trying to create things against a Dusseldorf team who, yeah, I agree, they were very passive. It seemed like almost they weren't ready for the game. Obviously, they grew into the game as the game went on. But yeah, 0-0 at halftime, I thought a good result. I like the game plan from Gerrards. Say what you will about him and how maybe the off-pitch stuff, you know, the noise in the background there. But I think at least over the last seven games or whatever it is that we've been undefeated, we've set up for the most part good tactics to get the team in a position that they could, you know, get some results. And that was very, especially against a team like Dusseldorf, that's encouraging, I think, and it certainly helped in our slow migration up the table. We're now in 12th place, and so 0-0 halftime there. Coming in out of the break, more of the same from us, I think. You started to see more of Dusseldorf inserting themselves into the game, making it more even of a game. But we saw some of that link up play that, you know, we had saw little glimpses of it in the first half, where finally ball over the top. I think it was Ojan, maybe, I forget who it was. Gets sort of Tirada kind of like lays it off to him intentionally, unintentionally, I don't know, but it falls to Karaman. Karaman does a nice move to get himself free, shoots it back against the grain, gets it past the keeper. Kasemeier probably wants that one back, but this is what we've seen from Karaman all season long, where he's coming up with these big shots. Not necessarily the greatest shots, but they're on target, and that's all that matters. It goes in a goal, 1-0, and I was like, whoa, okay, we're going to leave here against Dusseldorf. What's going on?
Yeah, and once again, another good moment for Tirada where he's having an impact on the game and proving difficult for players to deal with. And in that situation, yeah, he was trying to, I think, direct it kind of out to Karaman. Karaman plays it off his chest, moving kind of sideways, like, you know, facing the sideline right at the top of the box. And then just kind of has, you know, that kind of incredible quick torque where he's able to direct it near post with a lot of power. It was eerily reminiscent, I thought, of the goal he scored against Nuremberg recently, which was a very similar shot from a very similar location, kind of across his body, caught the goalkeeper off guard.
Great shot.
I don't think the goalkeeper expected the shot at that moment or certainly at that angle. So, yeah, props to Karaman. I mean, what is that? Is it 11 or 12 maybe?
11, I think. Season? Yeah, 11 it's, or 12, yeah.
You know, he's over 10 at this point, so he's in double digits. And once again, for a guy who's not at least nominally your striker, to have that kind of goal scoring output, you know, from your winger, sort of midfield support, whatever you want to call him, I think has obviously been very important for us, because You know, even in a game like this, right, where Tirada and Top are doing nice things, they're not providing the actual numbers that we need. So, you know, Cameron's been able to make that up. Some props to him.
Some stats from the from that shot and goal. Prior to the goal, we were at 40% chance of winning the game. And then obviously after the goal, we went up to boost it up to 73% chance of winning. The goal was about 18.5 meters away from goal. And goal probability when the shot, we talked about the shot, was it was difficult. 5% chance it was going to go in. But, hey, we'll take any chance we can get, and we got it in there. We did see a reaction, though, from Dusseldorf. We saw, Tanaka comes in for Johannesson, and almost immediately he was effective because they come off of a set piece. Really poor by us, where the marking wasn't really there. And I don't remember if it was, I think it was Vermaai who got the header on it. Hits off the post. Unfortunate for us, falls right to Tanaka. He just taps it in from like a half a meter out. And just like that, they level it up. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, we've seen this numerous times, especially in this last few weeks or whatever, where the set pieces is still not there. As good as we are in many other facets of the game, defensively on the set pieces, we seem to be lacking still. And it showed on that goal where they got a fortunate bounce, no doubt. But Vermaai had an open header to get there in the first place. So I don't know. What were your thoughts on that goal?
Yeah, it was really disappointing because the way they even won that corner was sort of a nothing ball played kind of into the box on the right side. Yeah. And from a very shallow angle, I think maybe his back was even the goal. I forgot who took that shot, but just tries this sort of like almost blind backwards flick that he somehow got off, which was like pretty impressive. And it was questionably on target, but Muller had to react to it. Yeah. And so they won the corner out of nothing. And then, as you said, it's a decent effort, obviously hits the post, but kind of cuts right across goal into a spot where there's no one marking because it's the opposite side from where the ball was just going in. And unfortunately, a little bit too much, I think, ball watching by people. You know, after that initial header goes off, people kind of stop moving and they're kind of watching what's going on. And yeah, don't want to be too critical. It was unfortunate, kind of a lucky goal for them, but that's what happens sometimes when players are alive and, you know, diving to the near post and the defenders aren't aware of it. So
yeah,
frustrating, but that's why it's so important for us to be able to get off on the front foot and score that goal early. Not that we did it early, it was the second half in this time, but so often we've gone down early, and so, you know, this kind of thing isn't the blow that it otherwise would be at home, right, where you fall behind first. It's hard to get out of that. So
overall, and
still decent second half from us. It was much more, you know, disciplined, obviously, than us in the first half. Definitely a flip to the script, but we had chances. So
I agree about that. There was a glimmer of hope that the goal would be taken away. They did check for offside, but it was clearly onside there. So the goal stood there. We saw Brandon Soppy come off. It looked like it was just a substitution for Vandersloot. Like, and then I remember the announcer even saying, like, oh, why are they making the substitution here? We find out later that Brandon Soppy is out of the season now, thigh injury. He's done for the season. But Vandersloot, I think, is promising. I'd imagine he'd start next game, but we'll see. He came in the 68th minute. Schalke, I was wondering if we were going to make any substitutions to try to win this game. You saw Odorago came in for Tirota. I think that was a good insertion. Almost immediately, Odorago was a factor. It seemed like he and Vandersloot were linking up a lot in the early parts. They are making some moves as well, but we eventually saw Tempelman come in. There was a Lasma came in as well. Gerrard's got a yellow card during the substitutions, and I forget now why. It was something that happened. Oh, it was a foul against Kiki Top. I think it was Kiki Top made a foul, and they gave him a yellow card, and Gerrard's was incensed because he didn't know why it was that, and he ended up getting a yellow card for running his mouth. Do you remember why he got the yellow card?
No, I didn't see it, unfortunately. Yeah. But
anyway, you know, as a half wore off, the game wore on, in the stoppage time, the right-hand side, Vandersloot kept crossing the ball in, and Odorago kept getting opportunities. And what was it, the second minute of stoppage time, maybe third minute of stoppage time, gets a great opportunity where ball comes back out, recycles back out. Seguin does a great job one-on-one against the, you know, the defender. Gets ball back out to Vandersloot, one times into the box, low, near corner. Oh, they're all go like wide open, gets a chance, and he puts it just wide. It's like, oh, that was our chance. Maybe he should have gone with his foot. I don't know. I mean, it was like in an iffy area, you know. But misses it. 1-1 draw. They had a good chance too, I think, at 73rd minute. Klaus or somebody had a really great chance that Muller had to make a big save on, but 1-1 ultimately. Share the spoils in this one. I think it's a good result, Jack. Thoughts? I mean, obviously we had some good play in the game, but ultimately I think it's a good result. What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, we can talk about the penalty.
Yes, yes, we should talk about it. Go ahead, go talk about it. Yes.
So, I mean, first of all, just real quick, I did notice, I felt like towards the end of that game, the last 5 to 10 minutes in particular, it seemed as suddenly everyone on Schalke was looking for Odriozola at every possible opportunity,
yes,
whether on a build-up or the end of chances. And I just thought that was very interesting because I don't think we've seen that in a game before.
Yeah.
Where it's not just that a player's just like hanging on to the ball too long and kind of like taking on possession, it's that his teammates started feeding him because I think they realized like this is the guy that has the ability to make things happen,
yes,
and
yes,
beat people. And you're seeing that. So his kind of that's another step in maturity that maybe we just witnessed there potentially, which is interesting. Unfortunately, it looks like he's going to be sold immediately at the end of the season because Schalke's desperate for money and we have no chance of holding on to him for any length of time, which is unfortunate. The way it always goes for us, like it seems like half of all these young players, so often they're gone before they even really make the impact that they're capable of making. Whether it's like Nubel or people like that. I mean, obviously less so with like Goretzka and Max Meyer. Those guys were there for, several years. But to some extent, people like Leroy Sané or like other people, it seems like a little bit premature,
Speaking of Leroy Sané, former young player, he scored Real Madrid when he was, 17, 18 years old, did it again this yesterday. So anyway, just a quick shout out to Leroy Sané there. But 100%.
But the penalty. So late in this game.
This is why Gerrard's got the yellow card. It was a missed penalty. That's what it was.
Oh, is that when he got it? I thought he got it earlier in the game for some reason, but that makes sense. Cisse got a yellow card as well on the bench.
There's
a sequence towards the end of the game. Schalke is putting a ton of pressure on the opposition goal. Honestly, like, and Odriozola had a header before that too that nearly missed. I mean, like, we easily could have won this game at the end. Cross kind of comes in. Odriozola dives kind of near post, and there's contact with him and the defender. His arm is sort of grabbed. His left arm as he's trying to head the ball, and so he narrowly misses the header. The ref pretty quickly points for a penalty, gives a second yellow card to the defender as well, sending him off. So it looks like we have a man advantage and a penalty in the final moments of the game, which is obviously a very good chance of winning it, which would be huge for us. And then for whatever reason, VAR gets involved. Official goes and has a look at it, and it's overturned. No penalties given, and the yellow card is reversed as well, naturally, as a result. I don't know what your thoughts were on this, but this could be a misunderstanding on my part of what the rules are in terms of how VAR is supposed to be involved. But in a situation like that, like yes, they're naturally going to review every goal-scoring play, but it has to be a clear and obvious error for VAR to contact the referee and have him go and take a look at something. So, I mean, the official has clearly seen contact that definitely happened and is evident. I don't think anyone was disputing that. And he's called a penalty. I don't know how from any of the angles we have available, you can look at that contact and say it's a clear and obvious error to call that a penalty. You can make an argument that, perhaps the contact wasn't strong enough. It wasn't strong enough of a pullback to inhibit him from reaching that header. But I don't know how you can make that determination visually based on the evidence we have when it's that close of a margin. So for me, I think it's, the longer time has gone on since this game, actually, the more upset about it I've gotten.
Yeah.
I think it's a pretty absurd decision. Maybe I'm misunderstanding something about how a ref can get VAR can get involved. I don't know if the official is allowed to ask VAR to review any decision they make, which would take like the clear and obvious error out of the equation. But like to me, I don't think there was a clear and obvious error at all. There's definitely contact. The margins are fine. I don't see how that decision gets made, but that's just me.
Yeah. Pata Animation says, for me, the penalty decision shouldn't have been reviewed again. Maybe not 100% clear, but a contact and a pull was clearly visible. I'm with both of you. I remember I was irate as well, and I was, but as the weekend went on, days went on, I forgot about it. I just remember now, so I'm getting heated up again. But yeah, my understanding as well is the same as you with VAR is that when there's a clear and obvious error, you check for it, And maybe VAR was like, this is a crucial point of the game. Maybe you should check it again. Okay. But you could see they're checking it, and it's not clear. It's not conclusive. He's watching. You can see he's looking at many different angles of it, and you see his hand goes back. You can question whether it's a soft pull, hard pull, whatever. You could also question maybe Odriozola maybe dove a little, try to eat a little bit of it. But it's inconclusive at best. At best, it's inconclusive. Yeah. So it shouldn't
be nothing. Unless there's an angle that shows that there wasn't any contact, I don't know how you can make the determination that it was a clear and obvious error because there was contact. Your impression may be that the contact wasn't strong enough, but the call on the field was a penalty. The contact happened. I don't think that meets the threshold of intervention from VAR personally.
Correct.
But it's frustrating. And look, I mean, we're still 5 points, 5 point gap from the relegation zone at this point, which is nice, obviously, with three games remaining. We have that extra 2 points. We're 7 points clear from that gap. That's two results.
And right? We're celebrating tonight. Overcome.
Yeah, and we're probably feeling pretty secure about, you know, safety. Not that we still shouldn't, but like the math is still possible, and that 2 points would have gone a long way towards that. You know, likewise, Dusseldorf, I'm sure very happy that they at least got the 1 point, because you know, they're sitting in third place. They wanted the 3 points today going up against a pretty bad Schalke team. Yeah. You know, their safety from falling out of the promotion places to Hamburg or something isn't necessarily locked up. And obviously they're going to want to try to jump Holstein Kiel if at all possible to get that automatic promotion spot and not have to go through the relegation, the promotion playoff. So yeah, just big decision with massive implications for, you know, for two teams that kind of opposite ends of the table, but yeah, late drama. Bundesliga never disappoints.
Yeah, I know, right? I shared a meme this weekend of like a typical Zweite Liga fan. It's like you're happy, sad, crying. It's all the emotions going in one game. Yeah, it's not like the NFL. NFL, sometimes they call a penalty just so it can be reviewed and then check it then. But it's not like that with VAR. It's supposed to be the obvious. So I think they clearly messed that up. It's more that bias against Schalke, I guess. I know I give Gerard credit because he could have brought it up in that press conference and been a dick about it, and he didn't. He kept his mouth shut. But that's why he kind of got the yellow card, because he argued about that. And then we still almost had a chance at the end of the game to get a winner. But alas, yeah, 1-1. We could have had like 39 points, as you said, and been in clear. We probably would have been safe at that point. I think mathematically we would have been. But yeah, we're not. We're 37 points. We're tied with Nuremberg and Magdeburg. And we're in 12th place position wise, and 5 point gap between us and Wiesbaden.
I mean, it's the graphic you're looking at, it's so frustrating, because I mean, look, it's been great that we've been able to settle down and stop the bleeding and stop these losses from piling up, because you know, we have 14 as it stands. Yeah, but anyway, but
we're in the best format. Anybody in the bottom.
But here's
teams.
The thing, but when you can't convert these into wins, it doesn't matter. Yeah. We have not lost a game in any of our last five matches.
I think it's up to seven now.
But I'm just saying from the graphic on your screen. Currently,
oh, yeah.
We have not lost a game in our last five. Osnabrück has lost two games in their last five. Guess how many points they have? The same number of points from those five games as we do, despite having lost two of them.
Yeah.
It's because we can't win games. Yeah. So, yeah, we have to find a way to get over the hump, score some more goals, and finish this off. I mean, obviously, overall, it's a really good performance against a really strong team this season, a team that kind of kicked our ass last time, and a team that I was expecting us to have difficulty with. So it was certainly a lot of positives to take away. But, you know, the draw against, what was it, Elversberg and a couple other ones, like, we just got to find a way to get over the hump in some of these.
Yeah. At least we're getting points at this point of the stage. It's now six games, now unbeaten for us. Yeah. I think mathematically, if we get at least a draw against Osnabrück and certain results go our way with Wiesbaden and Rostock, they got tough games this weekend, then I think we're safe. But we're not there yet, right? We got Osnabrück and Hansa on the back end, but we need to take care of business on both games. A win, would lock it up. But this kind of transitions to last talking point, is that game against Osnabrück, it might not happen, Jack, or there might be some delays, or I don't know what's going on. So this is the official news that came out that Schalke retweeted yesterday, I guess it was. It says, Osnabrück was informed Schalke on Tuesday evening that the city of Osnabrück has ordered the Stadion an der Bremerbrook to shut with immediate effect due to structural defects in the roof. At this time, it is unclear what impact this may have on Saturday's game. As a result, Schalke says, no. We're not gonna move the game or anything like that. We're playing this on Saturday. I guess Schalke's offered up some thoughts about where they should relocate the game to, but they want it this Saturday. They want no delay in this, and I don't blame Schalke one bit, because they're hot right now. Osnabrück is reeling, and this game needs to happen or forfeit the game. One or the other. We shouldn't delay the game. I don't. You know, that's, I agree with Schalke in that regards, but I can't see that happen. I can see the DFB being like, well, this is unfortunate circumstances out of everyone's hands. We're going to have to delay the game. But like,
that seems like what the response is going to be. Yeah, from our perspective, I definitely agree. Like, this is not the moment when you want to have a delay when you're on this kind of run against a team like Osnabrück. I don't know. I feel like we should probably try to find a neutral third party venue. Something close to them potentially, yeah. So it's still kind of like not like a home game or an advantage for us, but
let me see if I can find anything in this article that says where Schalke offered, but That doesn't say. I think Veltins Arena. They obviously said Veltins Arena is one of the options, but yeah, no, I think if it was a situation where there's a storm and a tree fell on something that's natural causes, this is like something they should have figured out a long time ago. Poor inspection, that's on Osnabrück. That can't be blamed on us, and as a result, we shouldn't have the game postponed. It should just be moved to a different location. That's my thoughts, and that's what Schalke should go after in this regard. But
or maybe they can find, I mean, I don't know if this is ever a possibility. I'm sure people would still have an issue with this, but maybe we can play at the Veltins Arena, but like not allow a certain number of our own fans in, so it has like not a home field advantage environment. Like maybe we like limit the amount of like, you know,
a Park Stadion, a Park Stadion, huh? Play outdoor game there. That'd be something there, huh? Good way to clinch, survival with that. But yeah, that's the last news that the only bit of news I want to talk about. I mean, it's just like, I hope to God that they don't reschedule this game, because like I said, we're on a heater at the moment, a heater, you know, unbeaten. But I'd rather try to get a result this weekend and then be kind of in cruise control afterwards, as opposed to now we're like double guessing everything with the Hansa game in 2 weeks. And that'd be just, you know, who knows what can happen at that point. So, yeah, let's hopefully get this game going. Play anywhere you can. I don't give a shit where you play, but play the game this Saturday at 7 a.m. Eastern time. So we'll see. Stay tuned for that, because not looking forward to the more likely result of what the DFB will come back. But let's see. Maybe we'll surprise.
The team that I'm worried about right now is Braunschweig, honestly, to some extent.
Yeah, they got some wins lately.
And they have a couple in their last five, and two of their last three are against Kaiserslautern and VfB Wiesbaden. So they have a pretty easy remaining schedule after this upcoming week against Greuther Fürth.
Yeah. I think long as Hansa, Wiesbaden, they continue to stay where they're at in the table. I mean, obviously you don't want Kaiserslautern or Braunschweig to catch us or anything like that, but hopefully everybody else beats Wiesbaden and Hansa Rostock.
Sure.
That would help us immensely, but we'll see. Stay tuned. Stay to your Twitter feed or however you get your Schalke news, or Schalke America, and we'll try to, you know, stay abreast of this at the minute-by-minute news break here, so we'll see what happens there. But let's put a wrap on this one, Jack. Where can our followers find you on social media?
At JMang, JMMANGAN on Twitter.
Wonderful. I am at r_kharman. More importantly, follow Schalke America anywhere across social media. Our podcast can be listened to anywhere you stream audio, whether it's in your car, your phone, or wherever. So definitely do that. And then if you haven't done so yet, make sure you subscribe to us on YouTube. Like this video for would help the algorithm out. And then come join us on the Discord. Stay tuned. Go on our Twitter, and we'll send you the link there. But yeah, end this one here. Hopefully the DFB get their shit together and allow this game to continue this Saturday, wherever the hell it is. I don't care. Put it in the parking lot for all I care. But get this game played on Saturday. And hopefully we have a good reason to maybe do a little bit longer pod next week. But let's see. Slowly pump our brakes. Let's get out of here, Jack. Any final comments?
Let's do like a trial by FIFA combat. Nominate your best FIFA player in your squad to go head-to-head. Best of five matches, that's the winner.
Okay. I like it. There you go. All right. Well, on that note, hopefully DFB is listening to that option there. For Jack and myself, we'll catch you guys soon. And hopefully DFB is doing us a favor this one. Glück auf.